From Stewart Avenue to Scott Street, your news talk and sports station is Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM and WXCO 1230 AM.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Where I did take friends to the river this week and head up the lake, as we often do, to the Mallard Resort, and caught some live music over the weekend. But holy cow, was it chilly for August. Cloudy for most of the weekend. You know, just finally the sun started breaking through, you know, about 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. But boy, before that, I mean, that's two weekends in a row. The previous weekend was overcast most of the weekend, but humid as all get out. And much of this weekend was overcast and chilly. The good news is in weather-wise, the southern part of the state, where folks there will have a pretty pleasant week. Temps just a little bit below average, but otherwise quiet and dry. For those of us up north, however, north and west, there will be a pesky chance of rain off and on throughout the course of the week. And again, temps just a little bit below normal. So when there isn't that threat of rain, it'll be fine. It just won't be, you know, picture perfect. And then the real bad news is, and again, this is many days out, but right now they're fearful that next weekend will be a rainy one with a system dropping down from Canada. So it would be a shame to have a third weekend in a row that wasn't ideal for summer plans. But, you know, we'll hope for the best as we get closer. It's not like weather people have ever been wrong before, right? Huh? Right? Never wrong.
Never.
Brewers managed to drop 2 of 3 to the Cardinals. They lost on Sunday. So St. Louis is up a game and a half on Milwaukee in the NL Central. So the Brewers will now start a 4-game homestand against the Dodgers this evening, Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening, Thursday afternoon. And then Thursday afternoon is the first of 4 day games in a row for them. Thursday afternoon against the Dodgers in Milwaukee, and then 3 day games at Wrigley Field against the Cubs on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then they travel to LA to play the Dodgers. And again, hopefully can continue to try to right the ship. It would help if we could really, we're going to struggle against the Dodgers. So, I mean, we really, these games against the Cubs coming up are, you know, we have to take seriously and not play down to the competition, which seems to have been, Luke, what they are doing lately. And
yeah, those series against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati were tough, but I did not realize that they started a stretch on Friday with the first game against the Cardinals. It's 31 games over 31 days. So this is going to be a long stretch for the Crew. And I'm starting to lean a little bit more towards, maybe you're right, these next couple series against the Dodgers are going to be pretty critical for how the remainder of the season looks.
Mm-hmm. The Inflation Reduction Act received its final congressional approval on Friday, and we've talked about that previously with Congressman Mark Pocan, with Senator Tammy Baldwin and others, about the many benefits that it's going to have. And Governor Ned Lamont of Connecticut was among those who posted their praise of the legislation, with Governor Lamont saying, "Folks across Connecticut are going to save money on their energy bills, their healthcare premiums, and prescription drugs, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act," which I considered and tweeted out that this is really great news for the Connecticut resident who's running for Wisconsin governor. So I do hope that we hear more from, you know, Tim Michaels in his gubernatorial campaign about the benefits that he is getting from the Inflation Reduction Act, in Connecticut. But unfortunately, I think we're going to have to hear instead about what he thinks of Wisconsin politics. Meanwhile, we have the end of our long, I was going to say our long national nightmare, as Gerald Ford once said, but it's truly our long Wisconsin nightmare that Michael Gableman has been fired by Robin Voss. Was it because Gableman had wasted more than $1 million of taxpayer money? No. Was he fired because of a lack of production? In other words, after all this looking He never found the widespread fraud he still claims existed. Was that why Voss fired him? No. Was it the legal troubles, the multiple lawsuits about mishandling public records? No. Was it the arrogance and the attitude, the boisterous shouting down of state lawmakers in hearings? So was it for rude behavior? No. Michael Gableman got fired because, as a fellow Republican, he backed Robin Voss's primary opponent, and Voss won in a squeaker, but he still won. And now Gableman is gone. But, while that's a good development for the Wisconsin taxpayer and hopefully for the image of Wisconsin elections, let us not be fooled into thinking that, that takes Robin Voss off the hook for hiring him in the first place to placate, Donald Trump and that particular wing of the party. Robin Voss knows that there was no widespread fraud. He knows everything ran fine. As is the case so many times, though, they will take, something that should have, some nuance, and rather than explain it to Wisconsinites, they will try to, use that nuance and try to drum up, partisan talking points and attacks. And in the case of the 2020 election, what I mean is, we know if you study elections at all and how ballots are counted, you know that in places like Milwaukee and Green Bay, if you can't start counting the early ballots ahead of time, and so you're counting all the ballots on election day and election night, it's going to take a very long time to count them. And, again, Robin Voss knows this, but, what Trump did and his allies was seize on that and say, oh, middle of the night, something happened in the middle of the night. Yeah, they finished counting the ballots. It's how this works. But instead, ginned up the suspicion of, something untoward going on and used that along with, again, other talking points that either they already knew in advance weren't true or simply made up because, again, they wanted to cast some doubt on the legitimacy of a presidential election. And look, you don't have to like Joe Biden. You don't have to like, any Democrat winning that election. But, at almost no point in our nation's history have ginned up, made up attacks on American election integrity been made to delegitimize an American president. That is some of the most un-American behavior you could want to see. And that's what we've been getting, which has led to the dozens and dozens and dozens of lawsuits, recounts, court cases, what have you. And it is what led to the train wreck of a quote unquote investigation, known as Michael Gableman. I mean, it was Patrick Marley puts it generously when he says that it was haphazard. Haphazard is just a nice way of, saying it was a dumpster fire. It was Keystone Cops-esque from the very beginning and really never got better after that. And it was, in essence, a TV show done for an audience of one, Trump and, a wider audience of his survivor or supporters, not survivors. Maybe. Let's not get ahead of myself here.
I don't know how, Pat, it wasn't just done once Michael Gableman was hired by Voss, and then Michael Gableman came out and said, I don't know how elections work. At that point, it should have just been like, oh, okay, we got to find somebody else then.
We got to find somebody else. These things that you think are going to be, disqualifying from the very beginning, and that happened with Trump so many times. And yet things that used to be disqualifying now are seen as, well, that's what they say. We'll have to agree to disagree on whether Gableman is functionally equipped to investigate elections. No, he's not. He clearly proved it from the beginning. It never got better. And then by Gableman's own words, when he was going up against Robin Voss in that primary election by supporting Voss's opponent, when Gableman recorded that robocall for Adam Steen, he said in there that Voss never wanted a real investigation. And that, I mean, that is so damning, not just of Voss, but of Gabelman himself, that it took until doing a robocall over a year later, you know, for an opponent to for Gabelman to bring that up. Where was the civility? Where was the patriotism, frankly, to not step forward and say, you know, I've been asked to do this investigation, but A, I don't know how elections work, and B, there doesn't seem to be any evidence for me to really examine, so I'm going to respectfully decline. Oh, no, 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 no. You know, Gabelman had no problem setting up, you know, offices, racking up expenses, you know, talking to a bevy of lawyers that had worked for or were supportive of Donald Trump. All of this to somehow, again, figure out, was there some way that Biden didn't beat Voss by 21,000 votes? Now, again, if you're gonna make up 21,000 votes, you know, you're not gonna get that in onesie twosies. You know, you're something is going to become evident. Some kind of big plot is going to come together where plans were made and plans were hatched. And it was essentially a conspiracy with many moving pieces. That's how you would steal an election by 21,000 votes. And all we've really been able to do since then in all of the examinations of 2020 has discovered that these things did exist, but they were from the Trump camp. There was indeed a plot with many moving pieces, with many different participants. It was executed. It wasn't executed flawlessly, of course, but you know, the pieces included the fake electors in Wisconsin and other states, the Wisconsin ones facilitated by then state senator, now Congressman Scott Fitzgerald. There was, of course, the spreading of misinformation about drop boxes, which unfortunately is still being quoted by people who have seen the propaganda film 2000 Mules. Again, there have been no mules. The data has not borne out that Wisconsin drop boxes were, you know, used by mules, and that the only mule we've seen was Ron Johnson, very close to being a mule for the fraudulent fake electors ballot on January 6th, and delivering that to Mike Pence. Gabelman had told legislators, you know, about how he thought they should look into decertifying the 2020 election, even though that's not a thing. And yet, what did we learn from a Gabelman investigation? About a month later, he wrote a memo, a private memo that went to Voss, suggesting that, you know, decertification was a practical impossibility. So did Gabelman at that point say, as a result, I tender my resignation? No, he did not. He continued to go on, you know, shows and podcasts. He trashed the appearance of the woman who's the administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission. Discipline as a result of that conduct. So farewell, Michael Gabelman. We know this isn't really goodbye because, you know, once you get a taste of, you know, the right-wing media ecosystem, you never really go away, but we're not paying you anymore, so we'll take the little victories. We'll take a break and have more after this. You're up north.